Well, thank the Lord for the songs that we've sung. Would you bow your heads with me in a word of prayer? Dear Lord, we thank you this afternoon for your love and your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for the fellowship that we have one with another. And most of all, we thank you, Lord, for the blessings that we have of your presence. We ask you, Lord, that you would bless us as we continue this service, that you would bless your word today. We pray that you bless each one of us that's here and help us to receive our portion, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Renee, would you write something on the board for me again, please? Title of the message this afternoon is Well-Pleasing in His Sight. Well-Pleasing in His Sight. If someone asks you the question I'm going to ask, you all don't have to answer it directly, but what pleases you? What pleases you? What? When someone said, well, what pleases you? What makes you happy? What makes you satisfied? Or what makes you feel special? Something that pleases me is I like people to be reliable. So when someone is reliable, that pleases me. That makes me happy. If someone tells me I'll meet with you at 10 o'clock, I like them to be there at 10 o'clock because I'm there at 10 o'clock. And if they're not there, then I'm just waiting, wondering when they can show up. So reliability pleases me. Faithfulness, acceptance. Does that make you pleased when you feel like you're accepted for who and what you are? Don't feel like you have to put up a front. You don't feel like you have to try to be someone that you're not, but you can just relax and be yourself. Be accepted. That's pleasing, isn't it? Obedience from my children. I'm sure every parent can understand that. They say it pleases me. When the children do something without being asked, that pleases me. You clean your room up. You didn't just make your bed and you look in the closet and see a pile of clothes, but you actually cleaned it up. You actually picked it up, and that pleases me. A small little thing, and I know I mentioned this the other day, and this is one of those so little insignificant things. But you know, Renee, I kind of my go-to as a snack in the evening if I'm hungry or late at night is a grilled cheese sandwich on diet bread, of course. But it's a grilled cheese sandwich. So Renee knows that it pleases me for my sandwich to be cut into quarters, you know, in triangles. It's no big deal. But I also know it pleases her if you write her name to put an accent on the E. You know, for Renee, her name has an accent or an accent. And so I know that we just kind of joke back and forth that she knows I love her when I write her name if I put an accent on the E. So I put an accent on the E. So those are just little things. I know it for Renee, it, you know, if I'm in town and I bring her a Sonic drink, that's a way of saying, I love you. So if I bring her a Sonic drink, that's just something that pleases her. That's an I love you. So we all have different things. You may like your sandwiches whole. That's all right. But if that pleases you and your companion knows that, then that can just be a little something that I know you like it this way, and I'm going to give this to you because I love you. Well, selfishness in a relationship breeds weak relationships. And if we live, I mentioned this morning, we live in a time it seems like so many people are self-focused and so many people are about what I want. But giving and sacrificing and placing someone else's needs above your own fosters strong relationships. It fosters strong marriage relationships when you can begin to put the needs of your spouse above your own. It's not all about what pleases me now. It's about what pleases my wife. What makes her happy? What makes her feel secure? What makes her feel loved? It may be that maybe you don't always feel like going for a walk. But if that pleases your companion to take some time out and go on a walk and walk around the neighborhood or the cows or chickens or whatever the case might be, then to take that time to go on a walk, not because I feel like it, but because it pleases my companion. Those things make strong relationships when we can begin to look beyond ourselves and begin to look at the needs of our companion. So when we do that which is pleasing to someone else, it shows that we care. That's what that shows. When we get beyond selfishness, children and young people, when you get beyond just this is what I want, and you start thinking about what make mom and dad happy, what can I do to make their day a little bit nicer, that is a sign of maturity. And it will bless you in your relationships with your parents. Same thing with your siblings. Now it's not all about what I want. It's like, what does my brother want? Or what might my sister like? And when you begin to think about them more than yourself, you're going to find that you are fostering a stronger relationship. Well, Jesus said, if a man love me, he will what? He'll keep my commandments in one place. Another place it said he'll keep my words. If a man love me. In other words, the Lord's saying, if you love me, you're going to start doing things not selfishly, but doing the things that please the Lord. Not because of a law, not because we have to, but we are motivated to please the Lord because I love him. There is no greater motivator than love this afternoon. If you will turn with me to the book of Philippians in the fourth chapter, Philippians chapter 4, verse 18. But I have all. Now, this is Paul speaking. He said, but I have all, and I abound, and I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. An offering, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. So Epaphroditus had been sent as an emissary, if you will, or as a messenger from the congregation at Philippi, and he had brought Paul, historically they think maybe some clothes and some things that he needed. Maybe an offering of money. They brought some things that he needed. And so Paul is thanking them for their donation. He's offering them for their sacrifice. And he said, I don't have any needs now. I'm full. I'm abounding. You've met the needs that I have. And I received the things that you sent. And he said it was a sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable. It was well-pleasing to God. It wasn't just, I like this. He said, what you did, God was well-pleased with that. God was well-pleased with that. So I'd like us to consider for just a little bit this afternoon in a very practical way. Are we doing those things that are well-pleasing in the sight of God? Or is it about what's pleasing to me? Or are we, can the Lord look down and say, you know what you did, that was well-pleasing to God. More important than what pleases us this afternoon is about what pleases God. So many times when people get into theological debates, or we address what we might call hot button issues. Do you know what some of those are? You know, kind of where you go and what music can you listen to and what do you wear and what can you not do and what. And so these people start getting in these debates. What can I do and still be saved? It's a wrong foundation for discussion. The debate shouldn't be there. The discussion in the foundation should not be what can I get away with and not be sinning. It should be, what can I do to be well-pleasing to God? Why? Not because I'm in bondage, but because I love Him. So, Lord, what is well-pleasing to You? Yes, maybe I can go there and it's not sin, and I could debate with You and I could prove to You it's not sin if I were to do a certain thing. But the question is it pleasing to God? Does it draw me closer to God, or does it begin to interfere with my relationship with the Lord? That takes spiritual maturity, folks. And it gets beyond, again, it gets beyond the law spirit and the law mentality, and it starts being about you and God. That, Lord, I know I can make a case for this, and I know it pleases me to do this, but Lord, I know when I do it that You're not really pleased with it, so I'm going to lay that down, and I'm going to give that to You, Lord, because I love You. So when someone comes and say, well, Brother Justin, why don't you do that? It's not about, well, my pastor said, or my church said, or my mom and dad said. It's, you know, I found that this is what pleases the Lord, and this is what I choose to do. Do you know there is power in that kind of a response? Because it's a personal relationship with God. So the things that you've been doing, let's just put it where it is, where we're living. Are you doing things that are pleasing to the Lord? You may say, well, you're stepping on my toes now. No, you deal with God on it, okay? Because I've got my hands full with me too. Are what we are doing, is it well-pleasing in His sight? Is the Lord pleased these discussions really start falling by the wayside? Because, you know, I think more often than not, we know what God wants us to do. I know there are some things that we may, you know, we're praying about, Lord, I really don't understand. But I find that a lot of times when it comes down to it, we really know what the Lord wants us to do. So how are we doing this afternoon? Are we living to be well-pleasing in His sight? Over in the book of Colossians in the first chapter in the 9th verse, he said, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." Now, this is Paul expressing his desire for the congregation at Colossae, and he's saying that, "I would that you be filled with all knowledge, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." So this was His will, that we walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So how are we walking today? You know, that's my desire for each one of you as well today, that you walk worthy, that you walk pleasing to the Lord in every area of life, doing the right thing at the right time with the right attitude. I've shared with the congregation before, I remember a wife telling us, and she incidentally is no longer with her husband. But I remember she told us one time, there was something that she wasn't real happy about, and she said, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but," she said, "the little man standing up on the inside." That was many, many, many years ago. I was just a teenager, and I remember someone telling us that. And I thought, you know what, we can put up a front, but what's important is what's going on in here. Are we walking well-pleasing to the Lord with our attitude? Because I can come to service and I can look a certain way and I can act a certain way and I can smile at all of you and I can shake your hand, but you know, and you may think, "Oh, Brother Michael's really encouraged," and all the time I could be full of resentment and bitterness and not happy with the way that I'm living, and I'm not happy with, that's a miserable place to be. The Lord wants us to walk with all pleasing, not just on what's going on the outside in circumstances, but most importantly, what's going on with our attitude? What's going on with our heart? It's kind of like when a parent asks their child, says, "Hey, honey, could you please take out the trash?" And you get that yes, and you get this hard look, and it's like, and you can see these child just almost stomp off taking the trash out. And they could say, "Well, I'm being obedient. I'm doing what they said." No, actually, you know what? That's not good enough, because the attitude's wrong. True obedience that's done out of a heart of love is going to bring a good attitude with it too. And the Lord does not want us to be stomping around doing His will with a bad attitude. He wants us to do it because we love Him, doing it out of a good attitude. 1 John chapter 3, you might not have known that in the Scripture there's this much that talked about well-pleasing to the Lord. 1 John chapter 3, verse 22, "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight." So why is the Lord blessing? He's saying the Lord blesses us because, you know what, we're keeping His commandments and we're doing the things that are pleasing in His sight. So I come back down to that basic question, just a little self-examination this afternoon. Are you doing those things that are pleasing in the sight of God? Is there anything in your life that maybe no one else knows about it, and we don't need to know about it? You're not answerable to all of us. But is there anything in your life that when you stop and think about it, that you know maybe it hasn't been real well-pleasing to the Lord? Well, I don't want the Lord to be ashamed to acknowledge me as one of His children. How many people in the store, if you're with your child in the store and you've got a little child and they start throwing a temper tantrum in the store? Now, I will just say as a side note, I remember throwing a tantrum one time. I thought I would see what it was like. I distinctly remember I'd seen children kick their legs and stuff and fall on the floor, and I thought, I wonder what would happen if I did that. I found out. I remember coming in the house. We had brown carpet at the time, and I must have been, because I was between 2 and 3 years old. I distinctly remember that, thinking, what's going to happen? I walked in the house, and I threw myself on the floor and started kicking my legs. Well, my mama got busy. And I don't ever remember throwing myself down on the floor again, kicking my legs. Well, if I would have done that in the store, do you think my mother with pride would have said, that's my child, that's mine? You know, I want the Lord to be pleased, to be able to look on our lives and say, that's my child. That's one of mine. It goes with the message this morning that, you know, the reflection of Christ, they're reflecting me. So that means then the way that I'm living my life, can I confess something to you? This is really fleshly, all right? Preachers can be tempted too. Someone cut in front of me the other night. And Renee was driving with me. And I said, Renee, do you think I ought to flash my lights at them so they know? And by that time, it wasn't a safety issue. Now, it's all right to honk your horn when someone's about to hit you. But after the fact, I mean, it's kind of, you know, there can start to be some attitude in that, can't there? Incidentally, I did not flash my lights at them. But I mean, it's like that is when the Lord looked down and say, that's one of my ministers, that guy that's flashing his lights at you. I don't think that would have been real well-pleasing to the Lord. I remember someone thought I cut them off. We were in construction. I didn't do anything wrong, but they got upset. And they expressed that in a very clear way as they went by me. And they got up ahead of me, and I looked, and they had a bumper sticker on the back of their car that told what church they attended. And I thought, you know, I'm really not real interested. And it's because they were reflecting something that it wasn't well-pleasing. It wasn't well-pleasing to the Lord. And so the Lord wants us on just in every decision we make, in the words we speak, in the things we do, in the places we go, whether people are watching or whether it is in the privacy of our home, the Lord wants us to walk well-pleasing in His sight, that the Lord can say, that makes me happy. When the Lord comes along, and you parents have heard me say this before, and your children have their earbuds, may I offer a suggestion to you? Go pop them out from time to time and put them in your ear. What are you listening to? See what they're listening to. Ah, I am well-pleased. Continue. Go on your way. The Lord, when He comes along in the privacy of our lives, in the things that nobody else sees, how we're spending our time, how we're spending our money, the things that we're doing, where our heart is, that the Lord can look down and say, I am so pleased, this is one of my children. And you're not doing it to please the preacher, you're not doing it because of the church, you're doing it because I love you, Lord, and that's why I'm living like I'm living. And the Lord looks down and He says, I am really happy. You make me happy. Do you know you have the power, if the Lord were a person, if we could personify God for just a moment, if we could personify Him and make Him happy, it is when we keep His commandments. And we do what we do because of love. Let's make the Lord happy. Let's please the Lord with our life today. One of the things that makes a parent happy is when their children obey them, isn't it? Now, I shared this scripture the other day, and Vanessa said, I don't remember that. Am I right? I believe that was it. She remembers the first part. Most of the children, one of the first verses that we want to teach our children is, children, do what? Obey your parents in all things. Colossians 3:20. But do you know what the rest of that scripture says? Colossians 3:20. Children, obey your parents in all things. Okay, first of all, let's deal with that. Children, young people. It doesn't say to obey your parents in most things. It doesn't say obey your parents when you feel like it. It doesn't say obey your parents when it goes along and dovetails with what you want to do anyway. It says obey your parents in all things. Maybe I really don't feel like it, and I really don't want to, and I disagree, but mom and dad, you're my parents, and I'm going to do it because the Bible tells me to, and I'm going to do what you say. Well, this is what the rest of the scripture says. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. When you obey your parents, children and young people, you are pleasing God. That is well-pleasing. Sometimes children and young people say, what can I do for the Lord? This is the greatest thing you can do for God, and that is to obey your parents, because it is well-pleasing to the Lord. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. It says, but we are allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel. We were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel. Do you know the Lord has entrusted each and every one of us with the gospel today? You've been entrusted with something. The question is, what are we going to do with it? What are you going to do with what God has entrusted you with? And he went on, he said, even so, Paul said, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God which trieth the heart. All right, so what's that mean? It means we've been entrusted with the gospel, and we are to not live our life and speak the things that please people, but the things that are pleasing to God. We are living in a time, and I mentioned to the young people this morning, that family members, friends, people you work with, people around, there are influences and pressure to do things that are wrong. And I want to encourage us this afternoon in the decisions that we make. Let us not be swayed by our family and by our friends. And may I go a step further, even people in the congregation that might try to sway you from doing something else, but we need to live our life that I'm doing it because it's well-pleasing to God. Because all of us are going to have friends and family members, people that we love, people that we care deeply about, people that we would sacrifice almost anything for them. There's going to be pressure for you to do something that's not right. You're going to feel that pressure, and there's a lot more of it in this generation. And Paul was saying, you know what, we've been given a trust. I've been given a trust of the gospel, and so I'm not speaking things to try to please people. Well, I can kind of ingratiate myself, maybe to Brother Max. Maybe I can kind of get on his good side if I talked about certain things. Paul said, I'm not going to do that. He said, I'm going to speak the things that are pleasing to God. So I would encourage us in our decisions that affect our life daily, let's be careful about the influences that we're under. Am I being influenced negatively by my friends and my family and by people that we do love each other? And am I going to be swayed by that, or am I going to stand and say, Lord, I'm going to do what's pleasing to you. I'm going to go where you're pleased with. I'm going to stay where you're pleased with. I'm going to talk like you're pleased with, and I don't want to be swayed by the pressures around me because we have a trust. There's one more scripture I'd like us to conclude with in Romans chapter 12, and we could probably quote it here this afternoon. But Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? It's reasonable. Your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world. Don't give in to the pressures of it, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. May we be challenged today that our lives would be dedicated to the purpose of pleasing God. Lord, I want to please you today. And something else that's very pleasing. It's pleasing too. I mentioned about taking out the trash. That's just a little example. So we'll use that one again. Parent tells their child, hey, I'd like you to take out the trash. So the child takes out the trash. Even if they have a good attitude, do you know what's better? Do you know what's better than that? When the child walks in the kitchen and sees the trash is full, and without being asked, they take the trash out. Without being asked. Do you think sometimes we sit back a little bit too much? I just want to put this out there for your consideration. Do you think spiritually sometimes we sit back a little bit too much? Say, well, if the Lord has something for me to do, Lord, tell me. And sometimes there's jobs right in front of us that need to be done. And when we step up and say, Lord, I'm here, my Lord, there's a need. I'm not talking about getting out of our lane now, you understand? I'm not talking about getting out of our lane spiritually. But when there's a need, we can come and not wait for the Lord to come and say, hey, I need you. You better do it. You've got to do it. If I can come and say, Lord, I saw there was a need that needed to be done, taken care of, but I'm available. Do you want me to do that, Lord? And I'll tell you something you don't even have to pray about. If you go in the bathrooms today, and I haven't even been in those rooms today. I haven't been in there today. But if you walk in there and you see the trash is full, I'm going to tell you something. You don't even have to pray about it. You know why? Because it is well-pleasing for the Lord for you to go find an empty trash sack and take the trash out. And you say, oh, but Brother Michael, I want to do something for the Lord. I told you when I was a young person, I remember going to the altar and I wanted to work for the Lord, and I was encouraged to do the things in front of me, like cleaning the bathrooms. I'm like, that's not what I had in mind. Do you know I'm still cleaning the bathrooms? Because what's in front of you? Whatever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. So when you go in, and sometimes we're waiting back spiritually, and this, I'm just using those as illustrations. This can cover a wide gamut of things. When we come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to work for you, and I'm not going to wait for you to tell me I have to do something, but if I see a need that I can do, I'm just going to step up and do it. And the Lord looks down and say, that was well-pleasing in my sight. I'm not going to wait for the Lord to come down and say, Michael, you better give $100 to that, and then I might do it resentfully. He'd rather me say, you know what, there's a need there. I could do something about that and pull out my billfold and with a good heart go and give it to the Lord. Do you know that that's where the blessings of that is? So with our time, as we bring the service to a close, let's live well-pleasing to the Lord. How have you been using your time? Is there anything that maybe you've been spending too much time with and it would be more well-pleasing to the Lord to maybe exercise a little bit more moderation? Not that it's sin. Is there something you've been doing that, you know, it's not wrong, but the Lord would be more well-pleased if you backed off a little bit? Let's live our life well-pleasing to the Lord. And when the Lord comes and checks us, He's not there trying to make us feel bad. He's not trying to make us feel under condemnation, but He's wanting to show us these areas in our life that we can draw closer to Him, be more like Christ, and the reality is we're the benefits of it. We're the ones that benefit from it. We'll find greater victory, greater peace, greater happiness. It pays. It pays to please the Lord. Amen.